was a good friend of mine.
Hello and welcome to the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. My name is Kyle Case, and I'll be your host on this amazing journey as we attempt to help you get the most out of your life. I think I've mentioned, maybe even several times on the show before, that this is the year that I turn 50 years old, and I become eligible to finally compete and be an athlete at the Huntsman World Senior Games. I've been waiting for this for a long time, really. Well, 50 years is how long I've been waiting. But aside from that, I've also been working on, you know, facing the idea that I'm actually aging. Now, I know that in some crowds, I'm still young, and in other crowds, I am like so old. But for me, as I've begun to kind of, you know, come to terms with this idea, I'm always trying to find the best way to age actively. And in this journey, I've actually read a lot about inflammation. And while inflammation may kind of be a current health buzzword, an anti-inflammatory diet is more than just a trend. The experts say that it really can help you live a healthy life and age well. So I found an article on the website Eating Well. It's called Four Anti-Inflammatory Proteins You Should Be Eating According to a Dietitian. So Nancy Mazarin, who is that dietitian that the article is talking about, she's from Long Island, New York. She says inflammation is a significant contributing factor in the development of chronic medical conditions, which immediately gets my attention every single time. That said, it's important, I think, to clarify the different types of inflammation. Acute inflammation is the short-term inflammation that happens as the result of, say, maybe scraping your knee or getting sick with a cold. That type of acute inflammation is a healthy and normal body response. Our body should react to those things. It's the chronic inflammation that's really so insidious. We're sending out inflammatory cells when we're really not sick or injured, says Mazarin. And as a result, diseases like arthritis, heart disease, and diabetes are all linked to inflammation. She says we want to squelch the fire of chronic inflammation. And the types of eating patterns or diets that are associated with less risk of disease also happen to be more anti-inflammatory. So diets such as the Mediterranean diet, the DASH diet, the MIND diet, these are diets that are good for us and help alleviate or maybe even eliminate long-term chronic illnesses, but they're also anti-inflammatory. While they aren't completely plant-based, they do promote consuming more plant-based foods, such as fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. However, just because they are more plant-based, that doesn't mean you have to skimp on protein or even animal-based sources. In fact, animal-based protein also has a place in all of these diets. So here are four anti-inflammatory proteins that the experts say you can eat on a regular basis to reduce the risk of chronic disease and help you feel your best, as well as reducing that inflammation. Number one is beans. Now, whether you prefer black beans, kidney beans, white, cannelli, or pinto beans, or even all of the above, beans are a top anti-inflammatory protein. For one, the pigments in colored beans, like your pinto beans or your black beans, they provide anti-inflammatory antioxidant compounds that may help play a role in the prevention of cancer, heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. This is according to a review in the journal Critical Reviews in Food Science and Nutrition that came out in 2018. What's more, beans are also packed with fiber, including a specific type of fiber known as resistant starch, and that can benefit your gut health. That's also from a study in the journal Nutrients in 2022. That starch provides food for good gut bacteria to provide a healthy microbiome, which also may lessen the inflammation in our bodies. Number two is fatty fish. Fatty fish such as salmon, tuna, or mackerel are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, which is a type of fat with anti-inflammatory properties. That's according to Mazarin once again. One meta-analysis published in the journal Nutrients in 2020 on the relationship between fish consumption and heart disease looked at 40 different studies, and the authors concluded that each additional 20 grams of fish that is eaten per day, now 20 grams is just a little bit less than 1 ounce, that was associated with a 4% lower risk of developing or dying from heart disease, And that said, the authors believe that eating 2 ounces per day of fish is ideal for reaping the benefits. Fish is full of omega-3s, which improve heart and blood vessel function. They're also anti-inflammatory. Fish is also packed with vitamin D and selenium, nutrients that have additional antioxidant and anti-inflammatory benefits. And that means that eating fish may provide more benefits than simply taking an omega-3 supplement. But if fish isn't your thing, plant sources of omega-3s include flax seeds as well as chia seeds. Number 3 on the list is lentils. Lentils are grouped with beans because both are considered legumes. But if you're more of a bean eater, maybe it's time to add more lentils to your plate as well. Lentils are packed with polyphenols. That's a plant compound that has antioxidant properties that in part may help reduce inflammation. Consuming them may be linked to a decreased risk in diabetes, obesity, cancer, and heart disease. That's according to a 2021 review in the magazine or publication Pharmaceuticals. And like beans, lentils also have prebiotic fiber that help promote a healthy gut. And then the last food on that list was nuts. So like beans, nuts also have anti-inflammatory properties. Good things tend to happen when we eat nuts every single day. Nuts such as almonds and walnuts have been found to decrease inflammation per a 2023 review in the journal Nutrients. The authors say that nuts are packed with compounds like unsaturated fatty acids, vitamin E, selenium, copper, fiber, and antioxidants that alone and together help counteract damaging oxidative stress and lessen the inflammation in our bodies. Additionally, nuts have as much protein in them as fish, eggs, or meat. They say 1 ounce of almonds, which is about 23 almonds, if you're keeping track, offers 6 grams of protein, the same as one large egg. And the fact of the matter is that while there are many anti-inflammatory foods that you can add to your rotation, focus on the beans, fatty fish, lentils, and nuts if you're looking to add high protein sources that will reduce the inflammation. Not only are these foods versatile, but they really are nutritious and help fill out a balanced diet. Today's guest, holy cow, I'm so excited. Today's guest is 99-year-old Dutch-Canadian Betty Brussel. She says she is happiest when she is swimming, setting world records, which she did just a few days ago when in a swim meet she set 9 brand new world records. Is just icing on the cake. Betty enjoyed swimming as a child when she wasn't busy helping raise her 10 younger siblings in the Netherlands. Later in life, after she raised her own children, she decided to get back into swimming and even compete, beginning at age 68. Since then, she has earned hundreds of medals and sent many, many world records. She is the only one in her 90s in her swim club who still competes and is an inspiration to many, including myself. We're excited to have her compete in our 100-plus age group at the Huntsman World Senior Games this year. Betty, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm excited to visit with you and kind of learn a little bit from your experience of living on this planet for 100 years. We're looking forward to the visit. I want to talk a little bit about growing up in the Netherlands and swimming. Was swimming something that you did all the time and competitively as a child, or was it something you just did as recreation?
Well, I was living in a polder, and we had a canal around the polder, and we would just swim, you know. We teach each other to swim. And I grew up in the 30s where people didn't have much money, but we just didn't swim in pools or anything. We just swam outside.
And so when you're swimming, I'm assuming you're kind of swimming with friends, but as will happen with friends, I'm sure there might have been some spontaneous races that took place. Is that true for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. My brother said he remembers I could outswim anybody. So I don't remember. We just played.
You were just there playing and having fun. But your brother says you were faster than everybody. Boys and girls, yeah, it didn't matter. Yeah. You beat everybody.
That's what he remembers, yes.
Well, that's fun. What a great start. So you did that as a kid. Were there other activities that you liked to do as a child besides swimming?
Skating. Yes. Yeah, I have done speed skating. And in my early 20s, I did gymnastics.
Okay.
I
So
did.
you've done several kind of competitive sports and had an opportunity to have that be a part of your life. From the bio that I just read, it sounds like you took some time and you raised your family, but once the kids were grown up and out of the house, it sounds like you kind of turned back to swimming. Is that true?
Yes, I lived in Grand Forks, which is a little town north of Spokane, and they decided to build a tiny swimming pool just for lanes and a little thing for the kids and a hot pool, and we would swim. And on one day, the senior games swim-off was in Grand Forks, and they said, "You can do that." And I said, "Oh, I don't know." So in 1991, I went for the first time to the senior games in Coquitlam, and I swam one lane free breaststroke, and I did not even do it right. And then we went, then we went to Castlegar one day a week, and the girls in the pool taught me all the strokes and the diving and the turns and everything. And through the years, I just picked it up.
So when you competed at the senior games that you're talking about there, you were in your late 60s when you decided to
I
get
was
back
60,
into competition.
91, I was 67, so.
So I want to ask you this because I think this is maybe an area that could feel intimidating to people. But you said that when you got in the pool, you didn't really know how to do the strokes correctly, until somebody showed you how to do it. How did
Yes.
you overcome your nervousness of trying something new that you weren't really familiar with?
I didn't worry about anything. I just follow orders, and somebody would say, "If you do this or if you do that, it's a little bit better." And I l watched the good ones, the people who really did it well. And yes, every year I got a little bit better.
And so starting in your late 60s, you're learning brand new things, you're learning new strokes, you're trying to figure out how to get a little bit better. You're watching the example of others who know how to do it. You're, as you said, you're being very coachable. You're just being obedient. You're just doing what you were told to do. I love that as an approach to life, right? Life and happiness, just kind of watching what the experts do and then listen to what they say and then try to put it into practice in your own life. Of the strokes in swimming, Betty, what do you think is maybe the one that you're best at?
The freestyle. Yeah,
That's
the freestyle is my fun one.
your strength.
I just go into a rhythm and I just, I'm happy.
I love that. I love that. But you do you swim all the other strokes still, or do you just focus on
I
freestyle?
used to do all of them. I would love the I am, but then I had a shoulder repair and I can't do but butterfly anymore.
Okay. So before your shoulder, at what age was that? When did you stop doing the individual medley?
I have no idea. I'm sorry, I didn't keep track of
That's
the.
okay. No, that's okay. Was it like,
It's quite a while ago
it's
since
been
I,
a little while ago.
at least 20 years ago. I swam in the senior games 31 times.
Wow. That's so amazing. Betty, that's just so amazing. I'm standing here in awe. As I said at the beginning of the show, this is my first year of eligibility. It's the first chance that I'll have to compete. I've been around the games for a long time as an organizer, but to have the first opportunity to compete is very exciting to me. And to have examples like you paving the way in front of me is just, it's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about this swim meet that you just recently competed in, where you were able to set 9 world records. Is that
Well,
correct?
it was not on one, it was on three different ones.
Okay, okay. So
And
talk a little bit about what that's like to get in the pool and then get out of the pool a new world record holder. What's the feeling there?
you feel really good. Everybody claps and everybody's, the swim world people are so nice to each other. Everybody enjoys when somebody else does something good.
I have found that to be true, Betty. Well, I'm around athletes from all different kinds of different sports, different backgrounds, and I've found swimming certainly, but just across the board, it feels like masters and senior athletes, just really love to take care of each other. And I know that you're one of those that does the same thing. You like to reach out and help and be a good example to those who are coming behind you. You talked about it feeling good. Did when you started swimming again at age 67, age 68, did you anticipate that you'd be setting world records 30,
no,
35,
never,
40 years
never,
later?
Never. No, never. I just was so happy to learn, you know, and to I just enjoyed the swimming. I actually never really train. I only swim. I never do drills or kind of that stuff. I'm kind of, you know, a free person.
I kind of get that feeling from you just a little bit, Betty. And I think, again, I think that's amazing. So you've been all around the world swimming in different meets, or just mostly in Canada or mostly in the United States, or where are some of the fun places you swam?
I swam in Sydney, and I swam in Torino, and I swam in Budapest.
Budapest sounds fun. That's one you don't usually hear about. Was that a national meet or an international meet?
FINA meet in Budapest.
Okay.
Was a FINA meet. Yeah.
And how were your results there? Did you do as well as you'd hoped?
I did very well, but I honestly don't remember. I did a lot of. I had 5 golds in Sydney. I remember that.
Okay.
You know, winning is nice, but it never has been the most important thing to me. I always feel good if I can still do it.
I think that's a great way to approach sports, swimming, life in general. I think that's great, great advice. We've talked a little bit about your swimming and some of the success that you've had. Are there other activities that you like to do besides swimming or even besides sports that kind of keep your mind engaged and active?
I walk. I walk a lot.
Okay.
Go on long walks. I go up the hill and then go back easy.
So
swim, I walk.
You do the hard part at the beginning, so you can climb
yes.
the hill at the beginning,
yes.
And then it's easier to come
and
back home.
Every time I come on the top, I think, yeah, I can still do it.
What a successful or what an exciting way to approach life and any activity for sure. I'm wondering if you will talk a little bit about maybe your diet. You're 100 years old. What have you done that has allowed you to have such a long and healthy life? Do you have a special diet that you follow?
No, I'm very easy. And I used to have, when I lived in Grand Forks for 32 years, I had a big vegetable garden. I grew everything, fruit and vegetables and potatoes and onions, you name everything. And I never used any poison. I hunted the bugs. And I think that has a lot to do with it too. And I have really good genes.
Well, I think that that's, you know, there's certainly an element of genetics that are involved here. Yep. There's no question about that. But it also sounds like you've kind of done your own work as well. You've taken care of yourself. You've eaten good, healthy, fresh fruits and vegetables when they're available to you. You've gone out of your way to make sure that they're available to you by growing a garden. And you've stayed active and exercised. It sounds like a winning combination to me.
Well, I don't really like pills. So I had a heart attack, so I have a pacemaker. And they wanted me to take a whole bunch of stuff, and I never did. So I have no medicine at all.
Okay. I have to admire that. 100 years old, you're not on any prescription medication.
No.
It sounds like just a good, healthy diet and lots of activity.
Yes.
I love that. That's just the way to live life.
One thing I take is hemp hearts.
Okay. So that's kind of a little supplement that you have found works well for you.
Have that in the morning.
So at 100 years old, people have got to be interested in your life and how you've lived it. I hear that there is a documentary coming out about you. Talk a little bit about that. How can we watch for that?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, I hear there's a documentary being made about your life. How
Yes,
will we be able to find that?
Yes, yes. This lady thinks I'm special, so she's making a film about me.
Well, let me say this, Betty. She is not the only one. That lady is not the only one who thinks that you're pretty special. You've done some pretty amazing things. So, so is the documentary still in production? Is she still following you around and getting footage? And
yes, she does.
Okay.
Yeah, she came to the last meet and she took quite some. If people come up to me and they say you inspire me or stuff like that, and that makes me feel really good because at least I'm still good for something, you know. But, you know, the main thing is I have been given these extra years to live, and I think I should enjoy them.
I think you're right, Betty. I think you're right. And it sounds to me like you are enjoying them.
I do. I really do.
Now, do you live alone or do you have somebody that stays with you? How does
no,
that
I live alone and I look after myself. I have three kids. I have two boys and a girl. And my daughter is my guardian angel. If I need her, she's there for me.
So how old are your kids now, Betty?
70, 71, 73, and 74.
Okay. And your daughter is close by, so she can help take care of you if anything comes up.
She always, if I need her, she's there.
I love it. I love it. It's good for us to look after each other, especially within our family.
Yeah.
We're running a little bit short on time, but I'm wondering if you can share maybe one of your favorite memories in your swimming career. One of the times that just really stood out to you as one of the best.
The first time when I went with the Masters in Edmonton and I got all those gold medals and everybody really, really, you know, I was really special there, and that was a good memory. I never thought I could do all that. I don't remember the exact date anymore, but that was one of my most memorable.
And this was one of the first times that you got into that you went to a swimming competition as a master's athlete.
No, it was not the first time, but it was the first big time, you know, out of province.
Well, congratulations on just an incredible swimming career, on an amazing, wonderful life. What a great example, again, to me personally, but to everybody who has a chance to meet you. You've done some pretty amazing, really special things, Betty, and congratulations are definitely in order. If you had one piece of advice to share on how to live the best possible life, what would that advice be?
Whatever happens to you, always go back to swimming.
That sounds like good advice. Spoken like a true swimmer, right?
Yeah, because when you're in the pool, you're free and you don't weigh anything and you just don't, you forget everything, you're just happy.
I am going to quote you on that. Whatever happens to you, always go back to swimming. Betty, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We wish you the very best. I understand we're going to get to see you here in St. George in October when you come and swim once again at the Huntsman World Senior Games.
Yeah, I will be there.
We're looking forward to it. You have a wonderful day and we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So I've been talking about it for several weeks now. And if you were as inspired as I was listening to Betty, I got to remind you that registration is open. It opened on the 1st of March at midnight, and immediately hundreds of athletes jumped online and got registered for the event. If you were as inspired as I was about Betty, you might want to do the same thing. Many of our sports fill up very quickly. In fact, bowling is already closed, but I will say that we have some space in swimming still. In fact, everything else aside from bowling is still open, but don't delay. Get yourself registered quickly for the 2024 Huntsman World Senior Games. Everything you need to know is available at seniorgames.net. So check that out. Our guest next week is Nick Cipollino. Nick was inducted into our Hall of Fame in 2023 and is a force to be reckoned with in sporting clay shooting. He secured gold in all seven shooting events at his very first games back in 2012. and has earned around 70 gold shooting medals since then. He's well respected in his field, and we're looking forward to our visit with him next Thursday. Remember to tune in live next, as well as every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time on AM 1450 or FM 93.1 for the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. We take this live show and we turn it into a podcast, and you can subscribe anywhere that podcasts are found. If you happen to be listening by podcast, take a moment and give us a rating, write a quick review. It really helps us spread the word about the show, as well as about the mission of the games of fostering worldwide peace, health, and friendship, and all of the active aging content that you're looking for. You can also find this and previous shows right on our website at seniorgames.net. So check that out. Today's inspirational thought comes from the late, great Thomas Edison, and he says, "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up." Until next Thursday, stay active.